At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, welcome to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, though right now you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 to get in line with your questions, comments, or concerns. Brian, I heard you, I think, before the Garden Hotline started, that when you get home today, you're going to be working in your yard.
A little bit, yeah. Now, got some trimming to do.
I'm curious, are you one of those people that wear like a wet rag on your head?
No.
Underneath your hat?
No. Only if it's really, really hot. I don't think it's going to be that bad when I get home.
96 is not really, really hot.
Well, we'll see.
I was just curious. You
know, no, I take water. I mean, I drink a lot of water with me. I usually don't do that. I have, but I usually don't.
So, you know, you're such a fashion statement.
Yeah, of course, you got to be cool while you're out there with the weed eater, you know. Got my headphones on, bopping to the music, you know.
Great. Well, thanks. And thanks to you for having me on your show. You can give a call. We can talk about plant selection, caring for, ups and downs, and all around. How are your annuals doing? I'll tell you, this year I've had, since my middle name is Rex, and there is Rex begonias, I have just always liked begonias. Not just Rex begonias, but all begonias. But I've had some really tough luck with my begonias this year. They've either underperformed or they've had other problems. So out of all these years that I've been growing begonias, which is double decades, if not even longer, I'm just really a little bit disappointed. And the sweet potato vines, they, a couple of, you know, they're in all kinds of different colors and leaf shapes and everything else. Some of them got fried. There's no getting around it. And it didn't matter how much watering or anything else I did. So it just goes to show you, when the weather is nutty, you don't know what's going to happen. How about your bulbs, your edibles? My cannas are huge. Some of them are getting like almost 7 feet high, and they have the dark maroonish, brownish leaves. Ground covers, edibles, houseplants, lawns, perennials, roses, trees, shrubs, vines, or water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions is certainly not the only garden path to take. But guess what? Greg and Zach are both producing, and neither one of them has run away. So during the week, I do what I call a walk and talk, which is a landscape consultation. I come to your home, answer the questions you may have, and keep my eyes open for something else that may be impacting your landscape. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, homepage, email address, and phone numbers listed, so you can contact me and we can schedule a walk and talk. Now, a special recognition for individual, group, or a situation that's made an impression on me and is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel today goes to, if you were listening last hour, I've had a couple hummingbirds in my yard, so I'm giving them the tip of the trowel for coming to my yard instead of going to yours if they haven't come to your yard yet. But also, city traffic, I think this is who, you know, is responsible for this. But at the intersection of Holly Hills and Christie Boulevard, traffic from the west side going east is coming off Gravois. The traffic from the east side going west is coming off Morgan Ford or that intersection. They finally have put some stop signs at Holly Hills and Christie Boulevard. I go across that intersection a lot. And some of the cars were just, I mean, insane as far as coming down the hills. And then, you know, just, I mean, just nuts. Some people would be nice enough and stop even though there was not a stop sign because there's pedestrian crosswalk. But whoever was responsible, the city, that put up these stop signs, I give you a tip of the trowel because that makes that walk a little bit less traumatic for me and everybody else that cuts through, whether they're on a bicycle, walking, or anything else. So tip of the trowel to the Hummingbirds and also the city traffic department that put up some new stop signs at Holly Hills and Christie Boulevard. So if you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Should we take some calls? All right. Let's go to Michael, and he's in St. Louis. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Mike. I have a vegetable garden in my backyard, and out about 10, 15 feet away from it, some sort of grass, a very thin blade grass started coming up. And it would get rather tall up along the fence row. I mean, a couple, 3 feet high. But it is very invasive. It has these long white runners, and they're just creeping into my garden. I reached, you know, I'm trying to pull them up. And then a week later, there's just twice as much of them back there. Have you ever heard of this? What is it? And how can I get rid of it?
Yeah, getting 3 feet tall. I don't, you know, I'm unsure of what that is. There's something called Nimble, N-I-M-B-L-E, Nimble Weed. That you might take a look online and see if that's it. Just take a look at some of the common weeds. You can go to the Missouri Botanical Garden or Botanical Garden website, mo.org, and check there too. But Nimble Weed. Check and look at that thing because it is very, very invasive. But as far as getting 3 feet high, I'm unsure of exactly what that is. Crabgrass will do that, but it's, you know, just single clumps. Now, the clumps can kind of run together, but they're not really narrow-bladed at all. There's Bermuda grass,
this is a clumps, and it's very narrow-blade.
Yeah, my guess is it might be this Nimblewill, or also it could be Bermuda grass also. So just take a look at those and find out what they are, then head to your favorite garden center and see what they have to take care of those problems.
Roundup?
Certainly. Or even a grass killer will kill them. But you're going to have to stay consistent and persistent. Roundup is going to be the best. But, as I always say, stomp on stuff, bruise it, the blades. So when you apply anything, and if you're worried about drifting, then just use a paintbrush. Or somebody even suggested, if you've got a big area of it, rather than a paintbrush, use a paint roller and roll the Roundup on it after you mix it up in, like, you know, a bucket or something that you can dip the, you know, the paint roller in.
To keep it from getting on my vegetables?
Yes, exactly. Right. So preventing any kind of drift at all.
Okay. All right. I'll take a look at that. Thank you so much for your help.
Sure. And now let's go to Kirkwood into Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you today, Mike?
Very good.
I have a bed in front of my house about 5 foot deep by 20 foot long that has at least six large hydrangeas in there, the blue hydrangeas that usually bloom once a year in the spring.
Right.
In the last few years, they've done very poorly. Do you need to divide those up? Do you need to break those plants up so that there is more room for roots?
No, you don't need to. That shouldn't be a problem. Are you fertilizing them?
Fertilizing them, yes. Okay. I could be better at that, but I have been fertilizing them almost monthly.
Okay, you don't need, just make sure it's a fertilizer for acid-loving plants.
Right, okay.
So as long as you're doing that, and how old are they?
Well, they may be 20 years old now.
Well, they may be sort of at the end of their performance era. So, plants do get old, and it's just like your couch or your car or the shirt you're wearing or anything else. It finally gets old and, you know, it just doesn't, you know, it's not doing what you want it to.
So dig them out and replace them.
Well, you don't have to necessarily do that. I would go ahead and try fertilizing them one more year, see how the performance is. And if they're still staying blue?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. You were lucky because a lot of times you have to add aluminum sulfate back to the soil to get them to stay blue.
Just not many. And flowers at the base of the plant rather than at the top and,
right.
And around the crown. Right.
Yeah, that's probably basically, you know, just age as much as anything.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Age and the screwball weather. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Spurge has been nutty this year. That's one of the annual warm season grasses, as well as crabgrass, foxtail, goosegrass, and all those things. Just realize that a lot of them are producing seeds right now. So you can get them under control if you want to. But next year, when the forsythia is in bloom, that's when you put the pre-emergent down. That's the best control. Just realize it controls any kind of thing that comes up from seed. So you can't put a pre-emergent down if you're planning on spreading lawn grass seed. Highland, Illinois, that's where Denny lives. Hi, Denny.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Several years ago, I started using the Milarganite for feeding mm-hmm. my yard.
Sure.
And I've actually been very happy with the results. And I was wondering, all I'm using now is Milarganite several times a year and a pre-emergent in the spring. Am I missing out on applying some nutrients other than what's in Milarganite?
Absolutely. I would say get a soil test done. And find out if you are missing anything. You know, if you have extravagant levels of something, if you have something that's, you know, so in other words, just find out what there is there. You're going to find out soil pHs and all that, and then that will give you a better picture if you do have to make some adjustments accordingly. Even if your plants and everything are healthy, your lawn is great and everything else, still get, you know, a soil test done just to find out. It's kind of like just going to a doctor and getting a physical occasionally. Just to find out, you know, even though you may be feeling healthy, wealthy, wise, or whatever it happens to be, find out what's going on.
Okay. That's a great idea. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
Yep. And I don't know if the University of Illinois still does the soil testing sample thing. If not, there are private services. Let's go now from Highland, Illinois, out to St. Charles into Williams Yard. Hi, William.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hi, Mike. I hope you're well.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier about augering and feeding trees.
Yes.
I wanted to treat my old-growth lilacs to some, what were you saying, to put in the holes?
Compost. Basically, you auger holes. You get an earth auger, drill it down about 6 or 8 inches with an electric drill, and then just backfill that hole with compost.
And the augers I found, they're only about 12 or 14 inches long. That's long enough?
Yeah, that's fine. You don't need to go any deeper than that. The feeder roots of most plants are within the top 12 inches or so.
Okay.
So even big trees, I mean, they may go a little bit deeper, but that's, you're feeding the soil in essence. Again, you're not necessarily feeding the plant material. Then the soil will in turn feed your plant material.
And also, I have a gripe. My cannas aren't that tall. They're only 3 feet tall. I'll tell you what, the hummingbirds love them.
Oh, absolutely. Well, some of the varieties don't get as tall as other ones. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
These are the red ones.
Oh.
Well, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks, William. Now, Harley lives in St. Louis. Hi, Harley.
Hey. It's a pleasure, I tell you. I've got a long question, too. My backyard was virtually all zoysia. It survived 26 of the 28 years we've lived there for my lawn care. But last spring, it started dying, and two-thirds of it died off. And what survived continued to die this spring. My backyard is virtually bare, except for an occasional weed or a sprout from my neighbor's whirlybird tree. What happened to my zoysia grass?
It could be a combination of age. It could be a combination, including with that, weather. Also, you may have gotten a fungus. You may have had an insect problem. Chinch bugs really have devastated a couple different lawns, zoysia lawns in the region. So it could be any one of those things, you know, or a combination of all of them together.
Wow.
So age, weather, insects, and diseases.
Wow.
And so as anything gets older, your lawn is not as resistant or resilient as, you know, it was prior to getting older. So I don't know if you ever dethatch, power rake, core aerated, and all that other stuff, which is always recommended for a lawn circumstance. And without that, sometimes the plant material can go down sooner. So if you had 25 years, but now you got a major problem to take care of.
Yeah, I mean, I would scalp it every spring, just drop my mower deck to the lowest setting,
right,
and then rake in a few areas, but I miss the days where we could have burned it.
True.
But yeah, I plan on this fall renting a rototiller and then planting some, I don't know, some kind of grass, and then sprinkling in some zoysia seed into that.
Well, zoysia seed doesn't work here.
Well, they sell it at some of the garden places here.
I know they do, but I've never known anybody that's had success with it, and so you could try it. Maybe.
Well, I didn't want to pay $40 for a 2-pound bag either. So I'll just put down some standard grass and see what happens, and maybe I can survive with some plugs and get it started that way.
Right, and make sure whatever grass you put down, you get a blend. Don't get just one straight type. As far as seed-wise.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for the help.
Sure. And now let's go up to Creve Coeur. Joanne, how are you?
Great. Thank you. I have cleome, and it's tall and leggy, and can I cut it back?
I don't know if it's going to be able to recover or not.
Okay.
So you could try it, but I would say it's probably not going to have a chance to recover. I mean, this is the time of year when you can cut back annuals. Cleome is one of my favorites because it's just so wild and crazy looking.
It blooms all summer.
Right, exactly. But I don't know, cutting it, because it only is really a single stalk. And so cutting that, I don't know if it's going to have time or energy or whatever to be able to rebloom. You could try. I'm assuming you have more than one.
Okay, I'll just leave it alone and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing you can do.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And Tom is in St. Louis. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. We've got some areas in the backyard where, from some old swing set equipment and playground equipment, there's some depressions in the ground. I want to fill in some dirt, plant some grass seed this fall. Should I kill the grass that's there, or just put the dirt on top of it to level it off, or what do you suggest?
You cannot just lay dirt on top of existing totally compacted soil like this. It just won't work. So just plan on adding, like a topsoil compost mix, but you got to churn that areas over either by hand, by hand with a shovel or a spade. Spade is by far the best, or a rototiller. And then blend in this other stuff with it. Just don't lay stuff in those depressions or even across the top of it if there is not a depression. You got to make a blend with the new stuff coming in with the existing.
Should I kill the grass or just churn it with the grass?
Is it like grass or is it weed grass?
It's weed grass.
I would probably go ahead and, put some Roundup down. Let that stuff die, then turn it over with a rototiller or a spade, then bring in the topsoil compost mix and blend it all together, and then put the seed down with a seed starter type fertilizer.
And so when's seed for the fall? First, second week of September?
Yeah, you can do it. Pretty much, once you get everything going, you're probably okay to do it. Just so we're, towards the end of August, and get it down before, let's say, late September.
Got it. So great. Thank you.
Yep. St. Charles is where Dorothy lives. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. How are you, Mike?
Very good.
I have this large rose of Sharon bush, and it's full of white flowers and a lot of buds, but I've noticed it just started looking bare in the middle. I mean, the stems didn't have, the leaves were just didn't look right, and I went and looked at it further and turned the leaves over, or looked at the leaves, and they're just full of little holes. And I turned them over and tried to see what I could find on, if I could see any kind of a bug or anything. I didn't on the leaf, but then when I pulled my hand away, there was, it looked like two little bitty black bugs. I mean, almost smaller than ants. I took them to be bugs. Now, is there something I can spray on this? bush because the leaves are just like they're being eaten up.
Yeah, probably that damage probably happened earlier in the year, and the insects that did it are probably gone. That's not to say that you don't have insects on it, but generally, you know, something that small, they don't really eat holes. So okay. Probably just overall, the weather has just done a really heartache for Rose of Sharon's just in general. So it's probably just a little bit unhealthy. So make sure, you know, go ahead and prune it back. As I've told somebody in the first hour, cut it, you know, I don't know how tall it is or anything else, but I would cut it halfway back when it finishes flowering to give it a little bit vibrance, a little bit more vibrancy. And then next year when the foliage starts coming out, you know, if you can, mix in some compost in the ground around the base of it, or put some fertilizer down, too, to make it a little bit healthier.
So there's nothing I can do with the leaves now?
Basically not. I mean, if you wanted to, if most insecticides are contact killers. So in other words, you'd have to get the insecticide, whether you use insecticidal soap or neem or whatever it happens to be, and spray it directly on the insect. If you don't do that, you're just kind of wasting your time and or energy.
So wait until it's finished blooming and then cut it back.
Yeah, cut it back at that time, right. That way you get the holes, you know, let's say summertime, early fall, whatever, of the flowers. And then by cutting it back, it blooms on new wood. So in other words, growth of next year. And it'll be a little bit stockier, and maybe that'll help the overall health and performance.
So this would be like around September or October, I'd cut it back?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Certainly.
Have a good day.
The very same thing. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Bart lives in South St. Louis. Hi, Bart.
Yes, Mike, thanks for taking the call. Maybe it's always been a latent interest with me, but relatives of mine were involved in horticulture, designing the gardens and park up around Alton.
Really?
And since you were involved with the botanical gardens here in St. Louis, I'm wondering, when you compare the European versus the Japanese as far as their skills and ability in pruning, and this may be a little bit humorous, pinching the terminal buds. I understand that you got fruiting buds, you got branching buds, and you cut the limbs or the branch or the sprig according to the direction in which the bud is growing. You know, so many people, I think, they just go ahead and get in and really murder the doggone plant.
I agree.
But so could you give a little bit of primer with respect to how you would suggest a person getting deeply involved with especially with fruiting trees and your stone fruit trees and all that? I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, basically, I think, you know, selective pruning is the way to go. Also, make sure that you buy, when you're buying your plant, or if you have an existing plant, that you know what it is and you watch it very closely, because some of the, you know, some of the fruiting trees have some disease problems, and that can affect the performance by having some foliar diseases. So that would be my concern. And like I said, selective pruning. If you have too much fruit on a branch, sometimes it can get too heavy and actually cause a crack, and that could cause some heartwood rot. So those are problematic in the same, you know, same gesture. Now, relating as European versus Japanese style, the Japanese gardens are generally much smaller for the most part. So consequently, their pruning styles are very, very different. The plant materials they use are very, very different than the European style. So it's just a completely, you know, completely different circumstance. So thanks, Bart. Greatly appreciate it. Now let's go to Tom in St. Louis County. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I got a question about spider mites. I was told that I had spider mites on one of my bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, how do I prove it to myself that I got spider mites?
Well, there should be really small, let's say probably an inch by an inch, spider webby looking things. Also, where you think you might have spider mites, you take a white piece of paper out there, and where you see this webbing, you shake that branch on a white piece of paper, and then if you have spider mites, some of them will drop off on the white piece of paper, and you're going to see them. So that's a good way to go about it. Now, if somebody just said you had spider mites and you don't see any small webs, now I'm not talking about webs. You know, there's a lot of real spiders out there doing webbing right now, but these are really small. They're usually between one stem and a couple leaves. That's where they're going to be as far as spider mites go.
Yeah, well, this is like a arborvitae bush, you know. It has more, you know, like stems on it rather than leaves.
Rather than the needles? So you're saying where the stem's like coming out of the trunk?
Yeah, well, out of the trunk and the things. They're more needly than they are.
Yeah, that's not generally spider mites are going to be where there's some greenery, because that's what they go after. So they don't do anything to wood.
Okay. Now, I got what kind of I use to get rid of them?
Basically, it has to be a miticide.
Miticide?
Right.
Okay. And how many times do you have to spray that?
Probably I would do it once, then wait a couple weeks, then go back and look at the areas that you sprayed. Again, these are contact killers, so if you don't spray it right where the spider mites are, you're just kind of wasting your time. So just don't spray it over the whole tree.
Oh, you got to be selective where you spray it.
Right, if you want effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, the one that I was told I had it, it's at the edge of the street edge. And, of course, you go back 35 feet, and then there's rose bushes. Would they be there, too?
Yeah, there certainly could be spider mites on roses. So just look in between the stem and where the leaves are attached to that stem. That's where the spider mite webbing is going to be.
Okay, and it's small webbings.
Very small, yes.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Tom. And now let's go to Pat in Florissant. Yes, let's go to Pat in Florissant. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Scott.
This is not Scott. This is not the Home Improvement Show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I can make up an answer if you got a question about home improvement. Plaster on
it. I know your name is Mike Miller, the Garden Hotline. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I got brain cramps today. How do you get rid of ants in the kitchen on the countertop?
I would say get a professional service to come in and do some applications. Why? I mean, you could try, you know, spraying, but you don't know where they're coming from. So you got to find out where they're coming from. If you don't know where they're coming from, you're just kind of wasting your time.
I can't tell where they're coming from except, you know, I clean the counter completely off and there's nothing on there. And then all of a sudden I see tiny little black ants.
Right. That's why I'm saying get a professional service, because they're going to crawl underneath your cabinets, underneath your sink, find out how they're coming into your house.
Yeah. I know talcum powder kills them, but that's kind of messy on the countertop.
Yes.
Did you know talcum powder kills them?
There's probably a lot of things that kill them. But, you know, get somebody out there to really look and find out where the source of the problem is. That way you can eradicate it completely rather than just killing the few that you see that you put talcum powder on.
All right. Thanks.
Yep. And now let's go to Ronald in St. Louis County. Hi, Ronald. Hey, Ronald, are you there?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a... can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good.
You should turn down your radio, though.
All right. Can you hear me? Yes, I can. Can you hear me now, Will?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have green shrub, alphaviral,
arborvitae.
Alphaviae, and it's in a 12-inch pot. And I want to transfer it out of the pot and put it in a decorative pot that's also 12 inches, I was told that it might hold up in the summer, but in the winter, it wouldn't do well. It might die. You know, the diameter of the pot is the same size as the pot that I bought it in,
right,
which is a plastic black pot, you know. Would I need to change pots, you know what I'm saying, to a larger pot?
Would be ideal. What I would do, I would leave it in the pot it's in, the black plastic nursery pot. Get a pot that's about an inch bigger than that and just set the black plastic nursery pot down in there.
Oh, you would?
Yes,
oh.
That would be the easiest way. And then fill, you know, the extra space around the black plastic pot and the inside of your existing, the new pot, the decorative one, just put some mulch around it to add some a little bit of insulation. And make sure through the wintertime you keep it well watered.
I see. I don't need to bring it in the garage or nothing like that.
No. Don't bring it in the garage. It'll kill it for sure.
Oh, all right then. Oh. Okay, does that plant need full sun? Because I'm in partial sun.
It can probably do pretty well in a partial sun, partial shade circumstance.
Yes, that's my question.
Okay, great.
All right, then. Thank you for again.
Sure. And Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we get about 10 minutes of the Garden Hotline. Then at 10 o'clock, Investing Sense with Andy Smith and Bob Richards. 11 o'clock, the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show with Scott Mosby. 1 o'clock, the Rick Edelman Show. 3 o'clock, the Business of Family Business. And then at 4 o'clock, Health Matters with Fred Bottomar. So that's presented by SSM Health. So back to the phones we go, though. David lives in Lake St. Louis. Hi, David.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We have hardy hibiscus. It's a beautiful plant, and we were introducing some more hardy hibiscus into the garden. We came down with an aphid problem, and we've used neem oil. We've used soapy water with a little alcohol, mellifying. Finally, the bush, the main bush, was so big, we couldn't control it. We cut it down for the season. But looking ahead to next year, are there preventative measures we can take to prevent an infestation?
Well, first of all, I would say, are you spraying on the underside of the leaf?
Yes.
Okay, so you're spraying on the underside. Oil. And you're still having aphid problems.
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, there are systemics, but I would say, you know, next year, you know, I wouldn't worry about it and necessarily until you start finding that there is an aphid problem. So you can use
it. Might be beneficial to introduce ladybugs?
To make them hang around, you could try it. Also, I mean, if you get lightning bugs, which I know you can't, but the larvae of the lightning bug is called an aphid lion, and that eats a lot of them too. But yeah, you could try the ladybug, but it's going to be the larvae that does all the eating. The adult will eat some of the aphids, but it would be worth a try. But just realize, once you sort of put a predatory insect in there, then you can't apply any insecticides.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yep. So yeah, it's a tough one. And the aphids, I mean, they're not horrible as far as their damage, but they make everything sticky and icky and whatever. So Jeff lives in Chesterfield. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So we have some green ash trees that are going to be taken down here in the next couple of years. And just considering some new street lining trees, what would you recommend?
How wide is the space in between the street, and do you have sidewalks?
No sidewalk, and we're actually looking to put in two trees in about a 50-foot distance.
So are you wanting to be shade trees, or you just want to kind of have greenery?
Preferably just something, you know, large and still, you know, where the yard can still grow.
Right. My tendency would be not to go, you know, getting something large means, I don't know how old you are, but you're going to have to invest like 20-plus years before it's going to be large. So anything. personally, I happen to like the maples, but there's plenty of people that, you know, plant other things as well. The city of St. Louis actually put in some bald cypress for street trees along Holly Hills, which I think is nuts. But anyway, I just like the maples because of the good fall color. You know, red maple would be one of my choices.
Okay. And then two that we had on our list, American elm or a hackberry? Is there one that you prefer over the other?
The hackberry I would stay away from because they got all kinds of foliage problems and things like that. They'll get these things that look like pimples on the foliage, and there's hackberry, you know. So I would stay away from that. The elm is fine. Another option instead of the elm because of Dutch elm disease, look at the Zelkova, Z-E-L-K-O-V-A. It's a relative of the elm, but it doesn't get the Dutch elm, you know, the Dutch elm disease or the, you know, emerald ash borer or whatever else that might be out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Zelkova is a good one. So let's go from Chesterfield to Ray's yard in Crestwood. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good.
Fantastic. Good, good, good. Have a question about potash. What are the pros and cons about putting potash on a lawn in the summer months?
Basically, unless your yard needs it, your lawn needs it, don't do it. Because potash, potassium, and phosphorus are two of the things that soil tests indicate that that is a very extravagant, you know, situation if your yard has that, and it can dehydrate root systems and cause major problems. So just routinely doing something like that, I would not do unless you get a soil test done and says you need more potassium in your yard. Then it will tell you how much that you need to put per 1,000 square feet. But just to spread it, I would not do it.
You think that would be a cause into me having a zoysia lawn with a substantial amount of brownouts and dying of grass?
Well, it could be, but I'm not saying it is. Zoysia's, you know, had a really rough time these last couple of years. Even though it's a warm season grass and should be doing great during the hotter weather, it's had some tough times.
Okay. Main reason I called about that is because I have a lawn service. And they put potash on three consecutive treatments in a row.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And without having a soil test done. I mean, a lawn service should get a soil test done before they start applying anything. Whether they charge you for it or not, it doesn't matter. Just to routinely do stuff does not make sense.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Okay. What is your personal phone number to contact you?
Just go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and then my phone number will be there.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks for the information. Appreciate it, Mike.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to give my phone number out on air because I don't think I can do that. Ron lives in Webster Groves. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I have 3 points. One, the lady with the ant problem, there's little packets that you can buy that the ants eat. They carry the food back to the nest. They feed the queen. And the nest is gone.
Right. That can certainly happen.
The second thing is that a couple of years ago, I called about my hostas all dying out, and they just, nothing came back. Well, I dug it all up, and I planted a couple other things, but I got little bitty hosta plants coming up in there now that have actually bloomed, so I know they're hostas.
Great.
So do hostas seed out at times?
Usually not. Usually they don't, you know, their seeds are kind of, let's say, I don't want to say, they're dysfunctional as far as the seeds go, but that could certainly be the case. Or there could have been a little bit of the root left when you dug them out, and that little bit of root could finally matured enough to be able to put some foliage growth out.
And the third thing is, how can you make a bulb bigger? How do you grow bulbs to make them bigger? I've got some voodoo lilies, and I cannot get the bulbs big enough to get the plants to flower.
Yeah, probably voodoo lilies are probably not the best variety to try to grow here. But just, you know, as soon as the foliage starts coming up with any type of bulb, whether it's a daffodil or any kind of Asiatic lily or anything else, the foliage starts coming up, start fertilizing and fertilize, and hopefully they're planted in good soil. Fertilize, and then when it's halfway up, fertilize again, so about every 3 weeks. And then when it's in full flower, fertilize once when it's in full flower. And then when the foliage starts going, let's say, downhill, fertilize one last time.
Mm-hmm. The plants don't bloom because you got to get size to the bulb.
Right.
And I've had them for years and years.
So if they haven't grown to be big enough, that means they're not going to be successful here.
Well, I bring them in the wintertime because they're not an outdoor plant.
Right, exactly. So they just don't, I mean, they're not going to do well. Ron, we got to go. I'm sorry to have to cut you off. But, yeah, I mean, it's just your potting mix, fertilizing, and all that other stuff, whether it's in the ground, you know, maybe sticking your pots down in the ground might help you. But we can't really, they just don't, they don't do all that well. It just seems, even as a houseplant, I just don't see any that have been all that successful. So, Mike Miller, guess what? It's almost time to go. I better get out of here. Mike Miller, I will see you next week.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.